वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. So we're continuing our reading from the second chapter of the seventh canto entitled Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons. And I believe today's text is 39. Yes, is that what's on the board? 39? Okay. There was a little scheduling mix-up. I was actually scheduled to give class next Tuesday, but I think there was a little mix-up. Anyway, we should be ready to speak at a moment's notice. Ya eva rakshat avalumpate chayaha tasya bala kridanam ahurishitush chara charang nigraha sangrahe prabhu ya ichchaye shakshi jatiram avyayo ya eva rakshat avalumpate chayaha tasya bala kridanam ahur ishitush chara charang nigraha sangrahe prabhu ya ichchaye shakshi jatiram avyayo ya eva rakshatya valumpate chayaha tasya bala kridanam ahurishitush chara charang nigraha sangrahe prabhu. Please chant. Ya ichchaye shakshu jatiram avyayo ya eva rakshat avalumpate chayaha tasya ichchaye shakshu jatiram avyayo ichchaye shakshu jatiram avyayo ya eva rakshatya valumpate chayaha tasya bala kridanam ahurishitush chara charang nigraha sangrahe prabhu. Vaishnavis, okay, synonyms. Yaha. Who? Ichchaya. By his will. Parenthetically, without being forced by anyone. Ishaha. The supreme controller. Srijati. Creates. Idam. This. In parentheses, material world. Avyayaha. Remaining as he is, not having lost his own existence, because of having created so many material manifestations. Yaha, who? Eva, indeed, rakshati, maintains, avalumpate, annihilates, cha, also. Yaha, who, tasya, of him, abalaha, O poor women, Kridanam, the playing. Ahuhu, they say, Ishituhu, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chara acharam, moving and not moving. Nigraha, indestruction. Sangrahe, or in protection. Prabhu, fully able. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. The boy addressed the women. O weak women, only by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is never diminished, is the entire world created, maintained, and again annihilated. This is the verdict of the Vedic knowledge. This material creation, consisting of the moving and non-moving, is exactly like his plaything. Being the Supreme Lord, he is completely competent to destroy and protect. Please repeat. The boy addressed the women. O weak women, only by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is never diminished, is the entire world created, maintained, and again annihilated. This is the verdict of the Vedic knowledge. This material creation, consisting of the moving and non-moving, is exactly like his plaything. Being the Supreme Lord, he is completely competent to destroy and protect. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In this regard, the queens might argue, quote, if our husband was protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead when in the womb, why has he not been given protection now? End of quote. To this question, the answer is, ya ichchaye shak shichatiram abhyayo ya eva rakshatya valumpate tayaha. One cannot argue with the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is always free, and therefore he can protect and can also annihilate. He is not our order carrier. Whatever he likes, he will do. Therefore, he is the Supreme Lord. The Lord does not create this material world at anyone's request, and therefore he can annihilate everything merely by his will. That is his supremacy. If one argues, why does he act in this way? The answer is that he can do so because he is supreme. No one can question his activities. If one argues, what is the purpose of this sinful creation and annihilation? The answer is that to prove his omnipotence, he can do anything and no one can question him. If he were answerable to us concerning why he does something and why he does not, his supremacy would be curtailed. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshtarane Om Agyanata Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtang Stapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandehang Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru and Vaishnavangstra Shri Rupam Sagatatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvatangstra Hey Krishna, Karana Sindhu, Dhina Bandho, Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namoste, Tapta Kanchana Gorangi, Radhe Vrindabaneshri, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye, Vancha Kalpa Tarubhya Shah Kripa Sindhuva Evacha, Patitanang Pabhanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, it's surprising that this is surprising to us, that we can't figure out God. We can't figure out each other. We can't figure out ourselves. Isn't it? Can you say that you really know somebody, anybody, your sibling, your parents, your significant other, your whatever? Can you say you really know that person? Absolutely not, isn't it? They do things that shock us, surprise us. We go home and we find that they've been hiding something for years, and it causes Recently in the news, a couple of months ago, there was this guy in Italy, a couple. They were in their 90s. They've been married for like 60 years. And he discovered that she had some love letters, that she had an affair when they first were seeing each other, and he divorced her. After 60 years of marriage. So we can't figure each other out. Why do we think we should be able to figure out God? This is foolish. This is completely ludicrous. Again, we can't even figure ourselves out. Sometimes we do things that blow our own minds. Why did I do that? My God. Or why did I say that? That was so silly. We can't figure ourselves out. Why do we think we should be able to figure out God? But still, philosophers, from the philosophers down to ordinary man in the street, they're always trying to figure out God, and they get bent out of shape when they can't figure out God. Classic example that Prabhupada used to use is World War II. On both sides, you had religious people praying to God, let my father, my husband, my son come home from the war, please. And then when the father, husband, son didn't come home, then, oh, there can't be a God. If there was a God, how could he allow my father to be killed by the enemy? They lose faith. So we shouldn't be so foolish. And Yamaraj, in the form of this boy, is pointing out to the ladies there, don't be foolish. So the first picture he's painting is that even if you think that this body was actually your husband, like we have a painting of that in the Bhagavatam, the father's lying on the bed and the relatives are all around mourning. But if you thought that this body was your father, why are you mourning? The body's still there. Right? You have more faith in modern science, modern medical technology than you do in God. So call a medical technologist. Let them jumpstart the body. You can jumpstart a car. Anything goes wrong with the car, you know, you swap out the battery, you get some cables, call somebody over to jump it, or you swap out the starter or whatever. There's a guy who comes here regularly. One day he filled up and he couldn't start. But he's very smart. He said, you know, I just need a ride to Pep Boys. I know exactly what to do. He went, he bought a starter, went under his own car, popped out the starter, put it, you know, very impressive. So same thing. The body's like a machine. You always thought this body was your relative. Give it a jump start. Swap out the bad part. But they can't do that. And they won't admit that they can't do it. They won't admit. They're completely overlooking the subtler aspects of existence. When in our own experience, we know there are subtler levels than the gross level. Again, every night we put the gross body down, and on the subtle level, we're doing things. We wake up and we say, you know, I saw, like last night I had some dreams. I saw personalities. Well, what do you mean saw? Your eyes were closed all night. The power to see has nothing to do with this gross body. Because we definitely see on the subtle platform. We wake up and we can describe vividly things that we saw while we were sleeping. The eyes were closed all night. What did you see? How can you see anything? So, they're so foolish, modern philosophers, so-called, and scientists, they can't even admit to the existence of the subtler levels of material existence, which we all experience on a daily basis. They can't even admit that. They're still looking for gross explanations for all these subtle phenomena. The mind, we're thinking constantly. Every moment we're thinking of something. We're remembering, we're planning, we're thinking, feeling, willing. They can't even admit that these subtler levels of existence are there. They're always looking for some gross explanation. Well, you know, your cells are... those are intelligent. Say, okay, so if you think that it's just gross matter, then why do you cry then when somebody dies? Like Yamaraj just asking, why are you crying? It's just an arrangement of gross matter, so many chemicals. There's so many chemicals out there. So much carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, it's always there. The gross elements are always existing. So why cry? When a particular arrangement of gross elements is broken, like no intelligent person is going to cry again if the car is broken or if the water pot gets broken. Just get another water pot, you get another car. So, but why do we cry then when somebody dies? Why? If it's just a gross body, so much carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen. Why do we cry? Anybody want to answer? Why do we cry? Why do we feel grief? Why do we experience that? How do the scientists explain that? They can't. They can't. In their own lives, they experience it on a pretty regular basis. You know, the child gets hurt, they get hurt. What are you crying about? It's just gross matter. But, so any intelligent person can see, you know, there's more than just gross matter here. There are subtle levels of existence, and the subtlest level that the Vedas inform us is the spiritual. And just as in a day-to-day, moment-to-moment, we experience that the gross matter is pushed around by the subtle. In other words, by your desire, things happen. Apparently, not always. We desire sometimes and things don't happen. But generally speaking, I desire to go to Trader Joe's, and therefore the gross body gets up and gets in the car or gets on the bicycle or whatever and goes to Trader Joe's. It's not that the body just does whatever it wants. You know, you're sitting there and all of a sudden, by your desire, gross matter moves around. Like, an example I like to use is like this table. At one point, there was a tree in the forest. And then by desire, somebody went there with an axe or a chainsaw, cut it down, took it to a mill, planed it into boards, and then those boards were sold, and somebody took those boards and made a table. So it's all by desire. It's all being the subtle is pushing the gross. Always, constantly. So Yamaraj is pointing out here that this is all going on by will, but not by your will. Yeah, Ichaya, by his will, by Krishna's will. We foolishly think that it's all happening by our will. And then when we grudgingly accede or acknowledge that there may be a higher will at play here, then we want to put that will to our purposes. We want to engage that higher will for our purposes. And that's why Prabhupada points out repeatedly, pointed out again today, that God is not your order supplier. We grudgingly admit, okay, there may be a God, some higher force at work here. Okay, I come with my laundry list. This is what I want. I want you to do this, I want you to do that, I want you to do this, I want you to do that. But Prabhupada repeatedly pointed out, God is not your order supplier. You are meant to carry God's order. We're struggling with these gross elements. We arrange them nicely this way, and then some earthquake comes. Like recently in Italy, there was a very violent earthquake. People died. Italy. Not just why pick on Italy. All over the world, people are proud of their hundreds of years old. I mean, people don't like me when I travel with them. Because when we get to some place, and people, they're telling me, oh, this is such famous building. Well, it's just a bunch of stones. Practically, they worship these stones. Oh, this is a 300-year-old castle. Who cares? Who cares? You know, people are so proud of their, ancient history, and it's just a bunch of stones. And then when those bunch of stones get, ripped apart by an earthquake and falls on somebody's head, then all they lament, they're crying. And they will spend millions of dollars to put those stones back together so it looks like it did, before the earthquake came. This is how foolish we are. Instead of employing that money in Krishna's service, they'll spend millions of dollars. Millions of dollars to put these stones back together. The Parthenon or this or that. Who cares? It was new, a few thousand years ago. At that time it was maybe significant. But who cares now? Why do we have to keep putting these old stones back together? So people can spend millions of dollars to come and look at them and go, ooh, old stones. We are so foolish in Kali Yuga. We are so grossly foolish. It's amazing. But we can't even admit it. We can't even admit how stupid we are. And therefore, it's hard to make progress. When you can admit that you're ignorant, then you can be taught. That saying that I learned as a child, I've repeated many times for you, but it's very significant. He who knows and knows he knows is a wise man. You should seek him. He who knows and knows not he knows is asleep. You should wake him. He who knows not and knows he knows not is a child. You should teach him. And he who knows not and knows not he knows that is a fool. You should shun him. So most people are in that last category. They don't know and they don't even know they don't know. They're so foolish. So we're fortunate. We didn't know, but we've come in contact with somebody who does know. So all we have to do is hear. We don't have to speculate. We don't have to wonder how, why. Just hear from the person who knows and then you know. It's so simple. But that's too simple for most people. It's too simple. They have to, again, the Western mentality is, just give me the idea and let me run with it. Just give me the basics and then I'll flesh it out myself. We don't want to be told. But that's not Vedic culture. Vedic culture is you're told everything. How to take care of your body. When you get up, brush your teeth, take a shower, evacuate, everything is there. How many times you should clean your behind when you go to the toilet. Everything is there. Everything is there. But we don't want to be We feel that we're put in a box if we're told everything. But that's because we don't realize the urgency of human life. It doesn't last forever. Prahlad Maharaj will later on say that. That this human life is just like any other one. It is very temporary. It's very temporary. Therefore, from the very beginning of life, at least from 5 years old, get serious about Krishna consciousness. This is Prahlad's teaching. Become serious as quickly as possible. Because, adhruvam artadam. This human life, it's adhruvam. It's very temporary. But artadam, it can give the highest benefit if we use it properly, if we utilize it properly. If we misuse it, what a waste. Like Prabhupada is saying in his lecture, we were listening to recently, that if you simply misuse the human form of life for animalistic purposes, then nature will say, okay, my dear sir, you don't need a human body. Here, take an animal body again. Again, become a mouse. Punar Mushika Bhava. Prabhupada told that story. So, we need to get serious. So, Yamaraj is telling the queens here, get serious. Yeah, your husband has passed away, but your own death is going to come also. So get serious. Krishna's in complete control, and we can't always understand what he's doing and why he's doing it. But he's in complete control. He has the power to create, the power to annihilate. Shukadeva Goswami pointed that out. All the great prayers that we have in the Bhagavatam, pretty much they start out with that, explaining Krishna's supremacy, like Kunti's prayers in the 8th chapter of the 1st canto, Shukadeva 4th chapter of the 2nd canto, Namak parasmai purushaya bhuyase yad udbhavastana nirodha lilaya grihita shakti chitayaya dehinam antabhaya. That's Prahlad Mahavartmane. He points out that Krishna, he's praying, Namaha, I'm giving obeisances, Namak parasmai purushaya bhuyase yad udbhavastana nirodha lilaya. It was the point that Prabhupada is making here. Udbhava, creation, sthana, maintenance. Udbhava, sthana, nirodha, winding up or destruction. Leelaya, it's Krishna's leela. And we can't fathom that because we're suffering like anything. How can this be somebody's leela? They're playing with me. He's playing with me. I'm getting hurt by his play. Like Sura likes to tell the story about the frog and the boy. The boy's throwing stones and hitting the frog. And the frog finally says, what are you doing? And the boy said, well, I'm just playing. And the frog said, maybe play to you, but it's killing me. So we feel that way. That how could this be God's leela? I'm getting hurt here. I'm going to die. So Krishna points out, no, you're not going to die. Wake up. Wake up. Just like I'm eternal, he told Arjuna. You're also eternal. You're just sleeping and dreaming that you're dying and taking birth. Wake up. But we don't want to wake up. Because the enjoyable parts of Krishna's creation, we want to enjoy. And that's how we try to make God our order supplier. Give me all the nice things. Give me Hawaii forever. You know, give me money as much as I want. Give me, give me, give me. And then keep away my enemies and keep away all the illnesses and all that stuff. Then you're a good God. Otherwise, what's the use of you if you can't do all that for me? So this is foolishness. So we need to wake up. Krishna's in control. And that's why it's so important to accept the concept that God is all good. If we can't accept that, then it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to us, the things that happen here. That's why he's known as the all good Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not just the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the all good Supreme Personality. Everything that God does is good. Even if we can't see it, just like the queens can't see here. They're asking, if you say that God protected our husband when he was in the womb, then why is he not giving him protection now? Because he's dying on the battlefield. We don't see that as protection. But no, it's part of Krishna's plan. Everything that Krishna does is perfect. As we were saying yesterday about the young man who died in Oregon, Portland, in the early days. He was a Muslim, married, 2 young children. He was young. I think he was even just in his 20s. But he was being attracted by the Hare Krishna movement. He was coming, he was chanting, he was taking prasadam, associating with devotees. And then one day, bam, he died in a car accident. So the devotees were devastated, were shocked. Here's a Muslim, which is such a rare thing for a Muslim to openly embrace Krishna consciousness. So they wrote to Prabhupada and asked, why? Why would Krishna do this? So Prabhupada explained that In this lifetime, it would have been very difficult for him to surrender to Krishna and to continue because of his attachment with the family and all this. So Krishna made an arrangement, just moved him from here to another place so he can continue his devotional service. But we don't see it like that. We think, oh, horrible. Why didn't Krishna just let him live to a ripe old age? And so part of being a devotee is don't question Krishna. Yeah, you can question, but when Krishna says finally this is it, then you have to accept. Prabhupada set the same example. That he would have discussions with his disciples, but when he said this is it, that's, you have to accept that and just run with it. And sometimes knowing how foolish we were, Prabhupada would actually protect us. Because there was one instance in particular where Prabhupada wanted somebody to leave one place and go to another place. And he knew in advance that this person was not going to. So he just suggested. And then other devotees asked Prabhupada later on, why didn't you just order him? Prabhupada said, because if I gave an order and he disobeyed, that would be an offense. Another occasion, there was a man who was a very puffed up business guy, had some money. So he was saying, Swamiji, order me to build this temple. Order me. And Prabhupada said, no, if you like, you can. No, Swamiji, tell me, order me. Prabhupada said, no, if you like, you can do that. So after the man left, the devotees again asked Prabhupada, why didn't you order him to build a temple? And Prabhupada said, because if I gave the order and he didn't do it, there would be an offense. So sometimes Prabhupada would protect us in that way. He would just suggest. He wouldn't order. Because if the spiritual master orders you to do something and you don't do it, it's a great offense. We recite every morning to disobey the order of the spiritual master. That's one of the offenses to the holy name. And so it's actually better to run away from the order of the spiritual master than to get it and disobey it. I was in New York. I told this story several times also. I think it was 89, 90. Nice devotee, brahmachari, doing a lot of service. And I noticed he was packing to go on a trip. So I asked him, where are you going? He said, I'm going to L.A. I said, why? What's going on in L.A.? He said, true story. He said, well, my spiritual master, my guru, is coming to New York. And I know if he comes here, he may tell me to do something that I don't want to do, so I'm going to leave. So that's actually better. It's actually better to avoid the order than to get the order and not execute it. So he was avoiding. He went to L.A. to avoid getting a direct instruction from his spiritual master. But that's actually not the highest platform. The highest platform is to accept the order of the spiritual master as one's life and soul. Whatever the guru says, again, there can be discussion. Even with Krishna, we are hearing in the lecture series that we were following before we broke the Sunday to hear about Lord Nrisimhadev, Arjuna and Krishna with Ashwatthama. So when Arjuna finally captured Ashwatthama, Krishna said, kill him! He said, kill him. And not just, you know, Krishna doesn't just say, do something. He gave reasons. He said, what was that word? Mattam, pramattam, unmattam. Suptam, balam, sriyam, jadam. He gave evidence that he has done something really bad, Ashwatthama. Why? These categories of people should never be even chastised, what to speak of kill. Mattam means inattentive. Pramattam, temporarily mad. You know, you're normally a sane person, but you do something temporarily just really weird. Unmattam, totally crazy. Just totally gone. Suptam, somebody who's sleeping. Balam, a child. Sriyam, a woman. Jadam, somebody who's foolish. These classes of people should never even be chastised, what to speak of kill. Ashwatthama killed the five boys while they were sleeping. So Krishna says, kill him. He's willing to hear his devotees' reasons. So Arjuna didn't kill him, and he gave reasons why not. And supported by Draupadi, that, you know, he's a son of a brahmana, the brahmana is dead, you know, Dronacharya, but his wife is still living. So the son, therefore, represents the husband in her life now, so how can we kill him? Like that. So he apparently disobeyed Krishna's direct order. So it's not so easy to understand the dealings of the Supreme Lord and the pure devotees. We can't always understand. Here Krishna is giving a direct order, kill him! And he's giving reasons why he should be killed. But Arjuna didn't kill him. So, that's why we require a guru. Because on our own, we'll come to erroneous conclusions. Practically all the time. Constantly. So we have to hear from the spiritual master why something should be done, why it should not be done. What, you know, different circumstances, the guru may even give a different order. Classic case in our movement, one devotee was a musician, And Prabhupada said, give up this music nonsense and just, you know, live in a temple. And then some other devotee, you know, came with his guitar and wanted to, and Prabhupada said, yes, go on. Go on, you do your music. So we can't always understand why one devotee Prabhupada is saying, stop this music nonsense and just serve in the temple, and somebody else says, yeah, go on, play your music. So we can't fathom. That's why we need guru. We have to hear from the spiritual master, because the guru is directly in touch with Krishna. And therefore we accept that whatever order the guru gives is Krishna's order. Again, sometimes we think, based on my psychophysical nature, I should be doing this. I should be the temple accountant. But no, the guru says, no, you wash pots, or you clean the stool room, or you go out on sankirtan. And sometimes the opposite. Somebody's out on sankirtan, which we accept is a very, very difficult service, and the guru says, no, I want you to stop that and become the temple president. So we can't always understand. And therefore, Krishna consciousness means there's a chain of authority that has to be followed. Not that I creatively decide whatever I want to do. That is not surrender. Surrender means, I come, I bow down, dandavat, now my Guru Maharaj, please tell me what to do. And then whatever the Guru says to do, you do. Somebody will tell, clean the stool room. Somebody else will tell, wash the pot. Somebody else will tell, go out on sankirtan. Somebody else will tell, be the temple president. Somebody else, be the accountant. That's up to the Guru. And we take it that the Guru's order is just like getting the order directly from Krishna. Otherwise, foolish people think, yes, okay, I accept Krishna's God. Now when he appears before me and tells me to do something, I'll do it. No. You have to surrender to Krishna's chain of command. And Prabhupada established that even while he was here on the planet. Devotees would always want to go to him directly. No, I've set up an authority structure. You go to first to the temple president, the GBC. But we don't like that because we see them as ordinary people. And if you extend that mentality, then you'll see your guru as an ordinary person also, which is an offense. Archie Vishu Shiladi, Vaishnava Jati Budhi, Guru Naramatir. To see the guru as an ordinary person, to think of a Vaishnava in terms of his birth. Here's an Indian Vaishnava, here's an American Vaishnava. To see the deity as being an idol made of stone. These are all offenses. All right, we can stop here. Any questions, comments? Bhrigupati Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a very interesting and realized class, as usual. Okay, so I could easily accept how we should accept the order of the Guru as coming from Krishna. No problem with that. But to accept that the chain of authority goes down to a temple president and then like a temple commander, a bhakta leader, an ashram leader, it's harder because, you know, some like the temple president, okay, in our case, we're very fortunate. Our temple president's been around, you know, since time immemorial. I mean, 20, 30 years or whatever. But, you know, a lot of places the temple president could be a relatively new devotee. What to speak of a bhakta leader, ashram leader, they might be somebody in the movement for just like, you know, a very short time or even, you know, whatever. And not be very advanced in devotional service. Not that it's their fault, they're just, you know, relatively new devotees. So I feel a lot less confident about accepting what they say as being, you know, infallible, perfect, coming.
You know? Yeah, but nobody said infallible. You don't give up your intelligence, but the point is, the higher realization is that Krishna's in control of everything. See, that we don't see that. That's the point that we're missing. And therefore, we always wind up being hoodwinked by Maya that you're intelligent. You're intelligent. Why should you go by somebody else's intelligence? Follow your own intelligence. And we do that lifetime after lifetime, and therefore we get another material body. Because by our own intelligence, we don't get out of this quagmire. If you surrender to Krishna through the chain of authority, is there really such a huge difference between washing the pots, cleaning the temple, going out and hiring up? Whatever they tell you to do, you do it. But it's because I have my own predisposition, and the order doesn't match with that, and therefore I'm upset. But if I'm here to surrender to Krishna, does it really make a big difference whether through Krishna's chain of command I'm told to wash the pots or wash the car or go out on Harinam? Or if you just make up your mind, whatever comes down, you know, unless of course somebody tells you something really off the wall and then you check with somebody else. You know, the temple commander told me to go and it happens. Like one temple president thought he was intelligent that, you know, these devotees are going on in Harinam, they're going on in book distribution, and I'm bringing home so much Lakshmi. So I'm just going to convert the temple practically into a factory. We'll have a little cottage industry. We'll make this and that and sell it, and that way we'll maintain the temple. So some intelligent devotees thought, no, this doesn't sound good. So they contacted the GBC, and of course the GBC said, no, that's not right. That's not what Prabhupada wanted. Even if we don't do so well, like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was happy, ecstatic when a brahmachari would bring him a few paisa from selling a few magazines. That's what the guru wants you to do. Even if it doesn't prove fruitful immediately, it's not immediately financially fruitful. He wants us to go out and distribute books. So we shouldn't be, and also restaurants, Prabhupada sanctioned that. He said, stop opening temples, do restaurants / reading rooms. That was Prabhupada's order. We have enough temples. From now on, establish restaurants / reading room, where people can come and pay for prasadam, and also the books will be there. They can read them if they want right there, or they can buy them and take them. That was Prabhupada's instruction. So we follow Prabhupada's instruction, and he followed his guru's instruction. It wasn't immediately fruitful. It's not that Prabhupada immediately walked out the door and immediately had temples all over the world. And no, he struggled. But we don't want to struggle. So if some order makes us struggle, then we are upset. Why am I struggling? No, you struggle following the guru's order. That's success. Prabhupada's pointed that out many times. Your attempt to follow the guru's order is your success. Whether it proves financially fruitful or not, that's not the consideration. Your attempt to follow the order of the guru, that is your success. And for different devotees, the success will be visible or not visible. Some devotees, like you know, they go out on book distribution, and immediately, we have bhaktas come through the door, and after 2 days, they're already doing 100 bucks a day, 200 bucks a day. And some other devotees have been distributing for years, they can barely crack 30 bucks. Does that mean that the bhakta is more advanced because he's already doing 100 bucks a day? No. It doesn't mean that. That other devotee's sincere desire to serve, he goes out every day and he brings back 30 bucks after doing 5 books. That is success. That is success. So, getting back to your direct question, if the temple president or the bhakta leader is telling you to do something that sounds really, really weird, then check with somebody else. Otherwise, go along with it. Why not? It's not that the order is only right when it feels right to you. Because if we only did what felt right to us, we would be back out on the street dancing naked and smoking pot.
No, but your main point was that Krishna's in control, and if there is something that's not
Krishna's in control, you should always see that at every moment. Just like Narad Muni, as a young boy, when his mother died, he went off and he thought, Krishna's in control, so I'm not afraid. I can sleep anywhere, I can do anything. Krishna will feed me, Krishna will protect me. He was completely, and that's what made him great. Completely understanding that Krishna's in control of every situation. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Everybody is individually responsible to read Prabhupada's books. Because if you read Prabhupada's books, then you know what